Okie dokie. Hello. Welcome to episode number two of Love in Action. Before we get started, I'd love to have Mary just say hello and Teddy say hello and just introduce yourselves for a moment.
Hi. I'm Mary Stark, and I'm happy to be here. I'm actually going to transfer from my phone to my computer in just a second, but as I'm in the mid-ground here, I saw Nina's post on Facebook about this group, and it just resonated with what feels needed for me right now to just deepen my connection to my deepest, broadest self. So I'm looking forward to this, and I'm excited and happy to be here and looking forward to meeting everybody.
Thank you. Teddy, where are you? She went somewhere. Did we lose her? Teddy, can you unmute yourself?
I had to walk away to get a phone call. I apologize.
Probably your cat.
Nope. I didn't hear anything that you said. I walked away.
I see. I won't take it personally.
Okay.
Would you just say hello to everyone, introduce yourself, and let us know why you're here?
Hi, everybody. My name is Teddy Foster, and I am the director of a performing arts venue in Saratoga Springs called Universal Preservation Hall. I am here because I've known Nina and Gary for 1,000 years. and I studied the three principles with Gary, Nina's husband, and I'm interested in the love in action and hearing what we all have to say and how we interact to help me with my personal thinking. And I'm really interested in the topic of love, self-love.
Great, thank you.
I also know Molly.
Great, get a few connections running back and forth in this group. It's really nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so does anyone have any pressing thoughts or concerns? Otherwise, what I thought I would do is just start out with some observations. But if anyone is urgently needing to say something, you have the floor. Sue? You'll have to unmute yourself.
I got it. I just didn't know where the control was for a moment. I'm just love's feeling really out of reach right now. I'm butting heads with my housemate, and I'm just here really hoping to walk out of this hour with some connection to a loving way to be right now, because I'm just really feeling hurt and fucked up around it. So I just thought I'd say the truth. That's why I'm sitting here making weepy faces, because I'm weeping.
You're probably not the only one who's feeling a little kerfuffled.
Yeah, I'm kerfuffled.
So
yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
I'm checking in around my kerfufflement.
Good. You know, I was thinking about this question of what's love, excuse me. And it seems like there are two ways to explore it. And we can do both, one or the other, whatever feels the most comfortable. But the first way seems to me that exploring what love is can be a practice that makes a distinction between how we are thinking about things and running off our feelings based on what our thinking is telling us rather than from our hearts. And that kind of a practice, whether it's meditation or however you drop down from your head into your heart, usually starts with us.
Honey?
Okay, I think we got her done. Excuse me, I just wanted to make sure we were muted here. So anyway, sorry for the interruption. So that kind of a practice is often where we start with ourselves and being willing to have our hearts lead the way and see all those places that have been hurt and healing those by bringing our own attention to them in a loving sort of way and finding out what inspires love in us, as well as developing our capacity to be loving and to be compassionate, especially when we're having difficult relationships or circumstances in the world are upside down. And the other way that we can do it is by a recognition of kind of who we are at our core. And that's, both of those ways are valid. One involves more of a doing, and one is more of a seeing, you might say. And there's some overlap to it. So, you know, you could, I was thinking of it in terms of people who are quote unquote seeking enlightenment, is there's the direct path, which is recognizing our true nature. And then there's the more of the practice part, whether it's meditation or yoga or whatever, various things, prayer, centering prayer, whatever is used. So those are two different ways that I think we approach, most of us approach, even trying to unpack what love even means, you know, and how can we feel love when we feel hate? You know, how do we get from one to the other? So just as that as a starter, I'm curious about what you've noticed since last week about love. How do you feel if you take a temperature reading of your own heart and how you feel? What's that like at the moment? So I'm going to turn it over to you. I know Hope had a comment earlier this morning that, and Megan also, I think. So I'm going to turn it over to you and we can just go from there and talk about what you want to go and explore or some other thoughts that I had about how we can wend our way back to really living from our hearts. So you can unmute yourself and just speak or raise your hand. If you're muted, you might have to unmute. Oh, Joanna. You're unmuted.
I am. So, hi, everybody. I wanted to share that, as Nina knows, I've been grieving for many months over the impending death of my friend Lance, who I've known for over 35 years. And he did pass away last week. And Nina helped me to see that it was terminal cancer. He was only 62. And he'd been the brother that I'd never had in my life. So a man that I could always count on. So I was grieving a lot more than just his pending death. I was grieving the loss of, as Lance always said, somebody who had my back, you know, and good cowboys always need somebody to have their back. But I remember when we were younger and we'd been to Treasure Island or something in Disney, because we lived in Florida for part of the time as friends. And he and I had gotten into some kind of a tiff, and we were riding back on the bus at night and we were both tired. And he had leaned his head on my shoulder, but we weren't talking at that point. And so he was drifting off and I was mad at him, but I could feel his eyeglasses pressing into his face. And I just reached over and I took them off and held them in my hand. And later he told me that was one of the most loving things that anybody had ever done. And I've been thinking about that because I've been trying to be better about drawing boundaries with my mom, who I love very much. But as she gets older, she seems to have less boundaries. And as I get older, I seem to need more boundaries. And so we butt heads more and more, and yet I'm the closest daughter and I want to be there for her. It's important to me. But she said that I put her down when she worries about me and says things that I'm already thinking in my head. And I thought about that and I said, okay, I know she's worried. Let me separate this. But I'm already worried and I'm 59 years old. These voices are already in my head. So I know she loves me and worries about me and feels she has to say these things. But all she's doing is underscoring the fear in my own head when she starts that voice, as opposed to saying, so Joy, what do you think you're going to do about this situation? And so I separated. I was able to separate. And I think love to me is in that example with Lance and in the example with my mom this week, it's separating out my feelings for someone versus what I need versus what they need. My mom needs to know that she can trust that I can take care of myself and that I'm already thinking in a smart, prudent, careful way. And I have to be careful. All of my training at work, I use I statements, but it doesn't start out as an I statement. It starts as that is you. You make me feel. And so I've had to restart many of my sentences to say, I feel when you, and I know you love me, but this is what I need. And this is, and so I think it's that separation between the feelings that you have for someone, still being able to act in a loving way as you care for yourself. So that's what I wanted to share. And I'm sorry, Sue, because living with people is tough. Animals are much easier.
A lot of nodding going on.
Yeah. And I was going to say, as much as I wish and hope at some point to share my life again with a man, I'm also grateful. And my friends tell me I should be grateful that I have my own space. So yeah. People are not easy.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Teddy, do you want to say something? Oh. I think you need to
trying to be a good doobie and keep on mute. So I wanted to talk to Sue and to Joanna, but one thing that I started doing a couple of years ago with people who were making my life miserable, whether it was for a day or a week or for the moment, I decided to look at it a different way. Especially, all right, I'll say it, with my kids, with my two sons who can drive me insane. But there's other people in the category too. So I am in the practice of, I keep a daily journal. Every morning I'm writing. And what I decided to do when one of my kids was just, I just wanted him to get out of here. I decided to write down 10 things that I loved about him. I really couldn't think of anything that I loved or even liked about him at that point. So I forced myself to sit there first thing in the morning and think about what were 10 things that I really loved about this son of mine. You know, he was kind. He cleaned his room well. He was a great cook, you know, that kind of thing. Just 10 things. And what I found in the course of doing that is it changed my entire outlook on him and on my day. It's remarkable. And I have used that over and over and over and over with a myriad of people. And I have to tell you, it works. It totally works because you come from love then. You're not coming from hate or a bad place, but you are radiating love and you're thinking about all the things that are really wonderful about this person. So then how could you ever be mad at them, right? it helps. I don't know if anybody else does that, but I wanted to share that. Hopefully it could work for you.
Actually, I've done that too. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because I've sort of fallen off that practice. And when I first started doing it, it completely revolutionized my life.
It does, right?
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up. Especially right now, because it's Thanksgiving, and you know, I feel sort of the temptation of just like resenting everything and everyone. Like, no, I'm not making a pie. I don't care what you say. you know, this is what this day is made for, is remembering.
Yep.
The best of everyone and everything, really. Anyway, thanks for that. I've done it. It works. Yes.
Molly?
Thanks. You're on mute, Mal.
Got it. Thanks. So I guess that's a gratitude journal, Teddy. And I haven't done that for a long time because I started a dream journal, and that's just weird and bizarre. So maybe I'll give that up and do a gratitude journal.
It is a gratitude journal. And I started doing it 10, almost 11 years ago. And it's changed my life doing that. It really, really helps.
It is a good week to start it. I end every night mostly with a gratitude prayer. Try to be very conscious of my surroundings. But as Joy was talking, like you, I had a flashback to when I was a young mom. And even when my one troublesome daughter was in her 20s and really having some very terrible psychiatric issues with anxiety going on. And I once had to put all her belongings in the rain out on the driveway. It was a mom tough love moment. And I said to myself, unconditional love is always there for my children and those in my life, but I don't always like you. And that's how I got it through. I mean, obviously I was addressing behaviors. I don't like this behavior, and that's why there's a consequence. But I had to draw a distinction between like and love, and the love was eternal and always there. And I had to express that to them verbally. And we're very close now, and she got through it, and she works for Regeneron and has a wonderful life and a wonderful wife. And she was just trying to sort herself out, but I learned through her. I think that was her role in my life, was to teach me unconditional love. And now as I speak it, it sounds like the truth. That was her purpose in my life.
And your bond was strong. It proved to you how strong your bond was, right?
Yeah. And interestingly, as I go on this spiritual journey through Nina and Michael Neal and the three principles and other things, she's decided to come along for the ride. So we are finding, and she's done it voluntarily. I call it my woo-woo world. And she's there with me. We're going to be woo-woo together.
Sounds like a good choice of action to me.
There's nothing wrong with woo-woo.
That's right. Woo-woo is where it's at. You know, I'm wondering, because I've got my camera on gallery view, so I can see everybody, and there's a lot of nodding heads as both of you were speaking, that I'm wondering if that process of gratitude is a way of bypassing our thinking and our judgments and our projections and, you know, things that are triggers, so that when we do something like a gratitude practice, that it helps us see what's really stronger than just the thoughts that come and go when somebody's annoying us.
Well, you know, I don't really, it is a way of changing perspective for sure, I think. Not necessarily bypassing all thinking, because it's really, there is thinking.
Yeah.
You know, we're thinking, it's a different, we're thinking different thoughts. We're choosing different thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And so thinking is sometimes our worst enemy, but it's also sometimes a really good friend.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, you're important too. you know, we can think beautiful thoughts and deep, you know, I mean, that's a whole nother story, but you know, like what can our minds, you know, if our minds are antenna and they're just picking up, you know, whatever's floating. I mean, lots of times what's floating is not something you want to have on your radio dial, but you know, there are other things, other, you know.
Really good point. I'm really glad you mentioned it. What I hear and what you're saying is something that makes a lot of sense to me about knowing which of our thoughts are allowing us to expand and feel more, or which of our thoughts are making us feel more contracted and shut in. So there's really, the Chinese have a symbol for heart, mind, the combination, and any kind of a practice, it seems like, is one in which we come from the heart, but we allow our, we're still engaged with our thinking, but we're choosing the thoughts that are going to be expansive and loving and embracing, rather than putting each other at odds with ourselves. Connie, can you unmute yourself? Not sure. So you should, in the lower left-hand corner of your screen, you should see a microphone, and it might say mute, might have a red line across it.
Connie, if you move your mouse, that bar across the bottom might appear. It might disappear when you're not active on your computer. So if you move your mouse, then it might appear.
Otherwise, she'll need to call in her tech person.
Nina, can you unmute her from your end?
No, you know? It says it, unless I, let's see if.
Try to click her.
All right, try this, Connie. I think you might be, no, that's not it.
In the participants panel, Nina, it won't let you do it.
Here we go. It's not letting me.
That's weird.
Yeah. Because I've checked that I'll allow participants to unmute themselves. I'm sorry. Connie, you might need to ask Liam to help you. He's not around. Well, we'll come back to you, okay? All righty.
I wanted to say something. Yeah. I'm still feeling a little contracted, so it may be crustier than the way I want to come across, but I've had a long relationship with gratitude practices and gratitude lists. And for me, that stepping into appreciation and gratitude is completely impersonal. It's not about what I like about someone. It has nothing. I just sat here and tried to write a list of what I like about my housemate, and I got she's human. And then I wrote two other things and crossed them off because I don't really believe them. That's not my way in. That's not going to do it. And I think my only way in here is way under that or bigger than that. And that she's human. That she's human and I'm human and that's the way to appreciation for me. So I just wanted to speak to that. I have more, but if I go, I may go a long time. So I'm gonna shut up for a minute.
Anne?
Yes.
And then Hope will come back to you. And hopefully Connie can get unmuted. But go ahead, Anne.
Okay. So I don't know how my stuff fits in to what we're talking about, but it probably does. It's been an incredibly hard week for me. Someone in my immediate family died over the weekend, and I just came out of a Zoom funeral actually just before I came here. On the beautiful, loving side of it, it was wonderful to be with my entire family on Zoom, grieving something together. That was a really great feeling. And my son zoomed in from Germany, which was a sort of an added bonus. I also found out that I have a very serious medical situation that I didn't know I had. And so I've been struggling with doctors and appointments and stuff like that. And the third thing is that I've had various invitations for Thanksgiving dinner because I live alone, and they've all fallen through. So at this point in time, I'm literally calling stores and saying, is there a way I can get some Thanksgiving food? And mostly I can't. So it's just been like, I don't know. I feel like the universe is kind of pulling back and saying, you know, what happens when you have a really hard time and not a lot of support in that hard time? Who do you become and what are you? I don't know. I'm not understanding it very much. I'm just trying to weather it at this point. So that's my story.
Yeah. So how are you, can I ask how you're trying to weather it? What are you doing? What's helping? What's getting in the way?
Not much. As I said, it was helping to be with my whole family. That was unusual and really beautiful. I saw people that I hadn't seen in years, and there was a sense of love in the air, which was good, and I really appreciated. And I wrote my feelings about the person who died into this script that the family was developing, so I did put forth some love in that. I'd called my brother and my niece and talked with them personally, so I tried to give love in that way. The giving love to myself is the hard part. I think I'm quite loving of other people, but I don't know how to do the love of myself. And it seems like this whole thing of trying to find a way to have a Thanksgiving dinner is sort of a metaphor for the struggle I'm having with loving myself. I feel like maybe if I just relaxed and loved myself, a plate would appear. You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of struggling with that.
Yeah. You know, I think
I am. Where do you live? I'll bring you a plate tomorrow.
I was just going to say I have an abundance of food, and I know, and I think you just moved, but I will be glad to deliver a plate.
Oh, how nice of you. How nice of everybody.
on one level, Anne, I'll just share with you, I have five brothers and sisters, and we're all very, very close. And we've been very separated, as you are feeling probably. One's in New Hampshire, one's in Long Island, one's in Syracuse, I'm in Albany. Where's the other one? Oh, another one in Syracuse. So we had this big plan to go up to New Hampshire, maybe do some skiing, get everyone together. We knew it wasn't going to work out. I mean, we knew, come on. And it didn't work out. We, at the last minute, we had to pull the plug. And I haven't seen my one sister in a year, and we're very close. We just wrote a documentary together and spent 4 years together writing this beautiful soccer story. And I haven't seen her in a year. So we all just sort of said to ourselves, well, let's Zoom in the morning. So tomorrow morning at 9, we'll Zoom, because we don't do that a lot, because we get kind of loud and obnoxious, you know, Ian. So we don't want to, you know, so we'll Zoom tomorrow. And I think I had to really sit back and go, you know what? I'm just going to be home with my two sons. They're going to be out with their father somewhere. I'll probably have a Thanksgiving by myself like you. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I have to say, I have a little bit of food in the house, but I think we all had to look back this year and sort of embrace the good stuff, right? And like, love yourself, love the family you have. We're here for you if you need us. And be grateful for those beautiful moments we've had with the people we've loved in our lives.
Thank you.
So for
Anne, I will email you and we'll work out arrangements.
Seriously, Molly, that's amazing. That's great. Thank you.
So, you know, Anne, you're bringing up an interesting conundrum that I think most of us face in terms of loving ourselves and what that can mean and how do we do it after all. And, you know, I think we have two different ways of perceiving the world. One is predominantly from, you know, an intellectual or a thinking perspective, you know, figuring it out, getting it organized, you know, doing things that are practical and useful. And then there's this other level, which, you know, and I think everybody here knows, which is much more of a nonverbal, energetic, intuitive energy that's much harder to describe. And it just seems to me from my experience and what I've heard some of you say and from other sources that if we give ourselves that opportunity to feel that energy, just directing it towards ourselves, to all the places that are hurt and afraid and angry, that we don't have to know how it works. We just need to give ourselves the space to do it in. And not try to figure it out, just to be in that space, just to use as Mary was saying, using different parts of our mind and our thinking to intentionally create a space for ourselves to feel that love and allow it to be felt in our bodies. Most of us don't do that because we have been taught that that's a possibility even. You know, most people are just, you know, snap out of it. I'll get through it. But there's a tenderness in everybody's heart and there's a capacity that's in everybody's heart that can provide solace and love. And we're so often giving it to other people, but so rarely to ourselves.
I just want to add that I'm more and more trying to do that as well and learn self-love. And sometimes I ask myself the question, well, what is it that I need or what is it that I feel like I want?
Thanksgiving dinner.
And that's a great place to start. And it probably has some other things attached to it for you. And just by you expressing that, you've got people who are there for you.
I know, I'm amazed.
Yeah. But it might not involve other people. Sometimes it might involve space or a walk or a good cry, but I'm not used to asking myself, what is it that I need or what is it that I want?
Yeah.
But I do know that when I do, there's something that responds deep inside of me. And that sort of leads me to a path of something that's going to make me feel more loving about myself or my situation. I don't know, Nina, is that intuition? Do you have any thoughts about that? You were nodding.
Well, I think that if most of us here, I think, have some sense that there is something bigger than we are that's calling the shots in life. And that when we don't have to know much more than that, that there's something that responds to us, life responds to us. And that if we just put that request out there and give ourselves the room to feel it, like, you know, some people have a meditation practice where you're just allowing yourself to be in that open space of love and not worry about how it looks or what it's supposed to, just to let yourself be in that, because, you know, it just seems like we have the capacity, and I've seen this in some of the people that who are on the call as well as other places, is that we have this incredible capacity to be love. So it's interesting that we don't focus more on that and just bathe in that and let ourselves feel it, because we have all these objections about why we can't, we don't deserve it, we're not good enough. But someone here alluded to this, that, and I heard a spiritual teacher, Rupert Spira, mentioned this the other day, that love is the absence of a sense of a personal self. So if I'm just taking myself out of the equation, if I'm just laying on the table and receiving, that things happen, they do happen.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to my best friend who lives in Philadelphia, otherwise she'd be bringing me a plate of food, right? But anyhow, I was talking to her and she said, Anne, you just need to put it out in the universe that you really want some kind of something to come to you on Thanksgiving. And so she and I together put that out in the universe for me. And then I feel like I put it out on the call and there was a response. So it kind of made me think of having put it out in the universe a few days ago as well. So maybe there's something to all this. I don't know, because I'm not very much of a believer.
Well, worth exploring.
Yeah. Right.
Hope, I know you wanted to say something earlier.
You know, Nina, I've sort of lost track of what it was that I wanted to say. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed up here and in here after hearing what everyone else has to say. So I'm trying to process all of that. Mm-hmm. So many people had such great thoughts and ideas and suggestions for all of us. And I love that we're having this conversation today, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And I'm thinking about how I can use that time, since you're not having your big family gatherings and things like that, how can I use that time to think about some of this and get the best out of it. And, you know, maybe start my 10 lists of gratitude for each of the people in my life or the people that I want to work on relationships with. And how can I do all of that tomorrow? Like, make the best use of that time, since we'll be just my husband and I and maybe one other person. And the other thing is that I wanted to say was the song that you sent us last week, I used that song a couple of minutes before today's session to kind of get back into the frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And I just would recommend to anybody who might be feeling down, need a little pick-me-up, that might be a great song for you to maybe listen to. I was only, I think, a couple of minutes long, but gosh, I got to tell you, it really lifted my spirits and it made me think of this group and might just be helpful.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Oh, I'm glad you shared that. I mean, that makes me think about the question of how often do we connect with the things that we love, whether it's physically or in our minds. There's so many triggers, you could say, invitations. Triggers has somewhat of a negative connotation, but invitations to love, to really just feel the yumminess of, you know, our kitty or our dog, or seeing the sunset, or hearing a beautiful piece of music, or reading a poem. And how often do we allow ourselves to do that?
I love that you just said invitations to love. And I wonder, for me, how many opportunities or invitations to love have I overlooked lately? Because, well, you don't stop and think.
Yeah, well, and by going from here, like, you know, if you're anything like me, you might beat yourself over the head, like, why haven't I done that? But what could I do?
Mm-hmm.
Just looking around at my desk, you know, things that I love my little Buddha Snow globe. Gives me just enough time to let my thoughts settle.
Hope, can I share what we did the other night with Teresa?
Sure.
So Hope and Teresa Marengas, we went out to this sheep farm. We talk about doing something like different, right? And we made a, what is it, a mandala? Mandala, I'm not quite sure how to say that. We made a mandala plate. I'll send a picture of it for you guys, the pre and the post. We still have to go pick them up because they have to be fired. And I gotta tell you, I haven't given myself an opportunity to do a craft of that intent, right? Hope, it was like, we really had to like think and focus and watch what the instructor was doing. And we all came up with these beautifully different plates, right, Hope? But for me, it was really freeing. It was like, oh my God, I used to love to do this stuff. I'm gonna do more. I wanna do it again. Nina, I wish we could bring her in and do this with all the girls in this, all the people. I'm sorry, my one male, our male friend.
He's not here today, so you can say.
Oh, I didn't think so, okay. For me, it was really a way to just, well, it was connecting the dots in many ways, but it was also something I missed doing. Remember, you know, like as a kid, we missed playing, we missed doing those things. Maybe we need to get back to some of our childhood things that we love to do, ride a bike, go for a walk, you know. But Hope, I can't wait to see our finished product.
I was going to say tactile. We're in our heads so much.
Right.
Today, and there's so much information coming at us, which puts us in our heads as well. And there's something amazing about having a tactile experience, whether it's painting or raking leaves, even doing dishes. I mean, there are books about this, right? There are moving meditations. Anything can be a meditation, but I think we're missing more of that physical and that individual or that shared with a smaller group that it's a relaxing, I mean, it relaxes us, it connects us.
Yeah.
This creativity comes out. It's an amazing thing. Many years ago, a friend of mine did one of those painting drink parties. We're not big drinkers, so it wasn't a mess. But afterwards, we took a picture of our, you know, proud little sea turtle paintings. And I can't get over how relaxed we both look. We looked 10 years younger. I mean, the look on our faces and our body posture, everything. And all I can think is that I hadn't painted in years. And it was being with one of my closest friends and doing something that wasn't up here as much as it was my eye and my hand and the laughter and the relaxation. No agenda, no outcome required, you know, no pass fail.
Right.
So freeing. And to answer your question, Nina, about how much time, I have said, and I said it on our opening call, I mean, the parts of me that were so much a natural outlet as a child have not seen the light of day. And that's something I'm so conscious of. And that's why I'm not going to wait for an invite or an opportunity anymore, unless it's from you. And I joined this wonderful call, and that's reinforcement for me. But that's why I'll dance sometimes in the living room, you know, or I pick up pods when I go out in the driveway to let the dog out. I can't help it. The things that fall from the trees or that are in nature are just amazing to me. And I wind up carrying them in like some child. And I think to myself, I can't wait to draw that. Or I hear an interview on NPR and then it's like, well, I can't wait to read that book. Or I can't wait to have a conversation with a friend about something I heard. So it's like Alice down the rabbit hole. And usually I don't allow myself the time for those tangents in my life.
Yeah.
But the tangents are the best part of life, I think. They're fascinating.
Yeah.
To me, they're mini adventures.
Yeah.
I love adventuring.
Such a good point. I mean, connection, isn't that what we're all looking for? Isn't that what love is about, is connection? And when we are out of our heads and figuring out, trying to make it look this way or worried about the outcome, we can have that connection not only with our bodies, but with materials or with sounds or whatever it is that we're working with. I remember years ago listening to Eckhart Tolle, who probably most of you know. And when he was talking about becoming present, he would start off by saying, put your attention on your hands, just on your hands. And just that act of focusing your attention keeps the monkey mind from being in the foreground. And it allows us to feel that sense of connection, not only to ourselves, but to something greater. So to me, that's what love is about, is connecting to something really deep and true. And it makes us feel grounded and whole again. And we all have that capacity. Even just sitting in silence like this, there's so much fullness to it. Ah, the puppy. Jen, what's on your mind? Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, yep. I had to switch to my cell phone. I think it might be an iPad thing. Because I could not unmute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I too far away?
You're good.
Let me talk like this. Just kidding. It's what my nephew does. He's like this all the time.
It's very
cute. Really, really excited. He's 5. No, I don't have much to say. That's it. There's plenty of things running through my mind, but I would say, you know, a lot of my friends are in crisis right now. And so I really empathize with those who are experiencing loss. So what I've chosen to do as an act is to be there for my friends and check in with them regularly. One of them is losing her mother. She's 32. And her mom is, I don't know how old, but not that old. So I'm there for her. I'm there for my friend who's a teacher, you know, and then finding time to be there for myself. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, ways that I connect with my family that are meaningful and staying, you know, as present as I can in those moments and enjoying them. I am accustomed to spending holidays alone. My whole family's 1,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. So I joked, and I mean this not lightly for anyone who's experiencing loss this time of year, but outside of that, I joked, I was like, wow, people are finally going to know what it's like for our holidays, because I come from a family of 175 people.
What?
Yeah. Each of my parents have siblings. And on my mom's side, there's 100 living descendants of my grandparents right now. Wow. And so I grew up with the big holiday and the 2 million dishes of food and the 4 different kinds of Jell-O and the, you know, 20 different kinds of cookies and 3 different green bean casseroles and the 50 pounds of turkey that barely feed people. And that was when the family was 1/4 of the size. There is a different kind of feeling that comes around the holidays. This year may be different, but in my experience, it's often a tinge of sadness and then a tinge of openness all at the same time. Yeah. And I found that I have to hold both of those feelings simultaneously. So for what it's worth, for those spending holidays alone for the first time in a different way, there definitely can be good. So I guess, Nina, I had something to say. I'm done.
Yes, there you go.
When don't I have something coming out of my mouth is more the fun.
Well, you know what I'd love to ask you, because I really appreciate your sharing that, is what makes it possible that you can hold the two of those at the same time, those two different feelings? What do you think that is?
I don't have a word for that. I think that's just, I think it's essential. Mm-hmm. I think what makes it possible is the sheer determination to not be consumed by darkness. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately that darkness exists, but it doesn't define. So for me, I feel like if I sit in it too long, I'm only punishing myself. Mm-hmm. But not sitting in it enough is also punishing myself. So just the right amount, kind of Goldilocks.
It seems it's reminding me of something that my mentor said to me at one point, that which is that we can either rage against the darkness or be grateful for the light.
That's why I signed up for this, was reading that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the light is, we do have light. To me, light and love are, I don't know how you really separate the two of them, but we can access it. We forget how powerful our hearts are, how often we're told that, you know, it's too touchy-feely, or it's too woo-woo, or it's too, you know, it's dangerous, you can get hurt. But actually going beneath all of that, the heart has the capacity to hold it all and to love, even in the midst of loss, trauma, absence, boredom, hatred. It's still underneath everything. At least that's what I've seen. Molly.
I went to get my book. I don't know who has this, The Book of Awakening.
Who's the author?
Mark Nepo.
Oh, yes.
It's a book of daily reflections. He's a brain cancer survivor, sort of a miraculous recovery. But there is just a quick thought on unconditional love, which I think kind of relates to what Joy was sharing before. It's very brief, and then because I've had lots of time, airtime here. Unconditional love is not so much about how we receive and endure each other as it is about the deep vow to never, under any condition, stop bringing the flawed truth of who we are to each other. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sue, your roommate, is that flawed truth.
Would you read it again? I'm sorry. I want to hear it one more time.
Oops. There you are.
Unconditional love is not so much about how we receive and endure each other as it is about the deep vow to never, under any condition, stop bringing the flawed truth of who we are to each other. I guess to me that means we are who we are. And if we can't change, then there still has to be a path to love.
Thank you. I would appreciate your fingers typing that into somewhere post on our little forum for me, please. Thank you. I have one. Mary Oliver said, someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mary, did you want to say something?
Yeah. So, you know, the conundrum seems like the conundrum that I have, and I think is like just like an existential conundrum, is there is a light. there's light. There is light. And you know, I'm sure that each of us have been many times in a place of experiencing that like sense of kind of wonder and love and all of it. And it's like a labyrinth. I mean, you know, you're like, sometimes you're right there. And then sometimes I feel like I'm like in some orbit that's like, so far from that. So the question is, like, when, you know, I don't know that as humans we can ever just stay in that place like all the time. I feel like it's not, I don't even know if it's humanly possible to do that. I don't even, maybe that's not the point, but always like finding your way, finding my way back. And sometimes it seems like, how could that be hard? It's not hard. And other times it just feels like there's no fucking way that's not going to happen. You know, it just feels like, I don't know, maybe sometimes it's meditation. Sometimes maybe we need to lay down on the floor and have a temper tantrum. This is the question. This is my question, because I'd like there to be an answer, or like three answers, like a list. You do A, B, or C, and you're gonna get back home, you know? But I think that there's not an answer like that. I mean, there are things that maybe we know we can do that will take us home, but yeah, it's just, that's my question, is like, how do I find my way? Because sometimes I really feel like, you know, there's really strong resistance to that. And not that I want to like give that too much credit, but you know, so yeah, finding our way, finding my way.
Yeah. It's a great question, Mary. There's no one answer, as you said. We don't have choice A, B, or C. Sometimes what helps me is knowing that, or the what it seems to me like is everything is contained in this, in love. And we may not be able to feel it, but it's still there. Because if we didn't have it in ourselves, how could we feel it? How could it be evoked when somebody responds to us in a loving, supportive way? It's in there. We may not have access to it, but we know it's there. And to me, that can, when I don't have something at hand, to know that that's the ground, even if I can't put my feet on it at the moment, I know it's still there. It's like gravity. And that to me can be very helpful. I don't know if that's useful at all, but I think the more we keep asking this question, what makes me feel love? How can I encourage it? Nature, music, art, poetry, connection, making things with our hands, everything that everyone has said, gratitude journals, they're all signposts. Sometimes we can't go there, but we at least know that there's, the destination is still there.
Can I, if I can share something? I know grieving so much over the past months, and I can't even know everything that was going on, but I think I was quick to label and quick to think it was wrong. And Nina, one of the things you said to me months ago has stayed with me, that underneath all of it, when I shut my eyes and was quiet, you heard love. You know, all the pain is about love. And I thought I'd have to take a break from work a couple of weeks ago because I couldn't stop crying. And then when I spoke to HR and I spoke to my manager and I spoke to my doctor, it was like, well, first of all, it'd be okay to take off time. It doesn't mean that you're losing it, even though I felt like I was losing it. And that was freeing all of a sudden, to know that the people could give me permission, so I didn't have to sweat what it was or wasn't. But then also I became aware of that. And Jen, this goes back to something you said. I love that about holding the sadness and the openness. They're sort of both there. Is that when I'm feeling my feelings, when I'm feeling the grief, I see things. I see the world around me in ways much more clearly. And I've been going through that over the past couple of months up in the mountains, even to the point where I might've been sitting on my roof to clear off leaves and noticing the colors of the sky and the mountains. And wanting to capture that moment, both to share with my friend Lance, but also to realize that sometimes that's all you have is that moment where you're sitting on the roof crying, but you see the beauty around you. And when I'm feeling things, sometimes I think I can be more open because my brain isn't working overtime to put up all the defenses or say I should be this or labeling things or the judgments that go through my head, my monkey mind all the time. But I think that's one of the things I'm learning now is that, first of all, my emotions and my vulnerability are strengths. And the more I try to suppress them sometimes, the more I just postpone or compound things. But so Monday, I found out about Lance on Sunday. So Monday, yeah, I cried a good part of the day. And I worked when I could, and when I couldn't, I didn't. And I got in bed with my dog and just, again, was responding to life as I gave myself space. So I guess is part of it.
That was very loving.
Yes, it was very loving. And then Tuesday was a new day. And I woke up and I didn't question it. I just knew that I could work in different ways. And I guess that's one of the things I'm learning is not to try and force things, but to give myself more space and to be okay with whatever's going on at the moment. I mean, I'm not going to be self-destructive and I don't want to hurt anybody. So it's stemming from that feeling of being okay, first of all, deep down, and that this is all part of life. It is an appropriate response. Sometimes what we're feeling, whether it's anger or disappointment, frustration, sadness, and being okay with being there,
yeah,
and not trying to force it to be anything other than what it is.
Yeah.
That's my experience over the past couple of months. And I can't believe that I can say this, but I'm much stronger than I thought I was. And I don't take my crying or my sadness as a weakness or a warning sign, but it's actually a sign that I'm very much alive and in tune,
yeah,
with life.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Joy. We are a little bit past the hour. I know some people have had to leave. So a couple of things. I'm going to invite you to do some homework if you feel up to it. And I'll put this in our group forum. But what I would really love to invite you to do is to take note of how many things remind you of love and evoke it in you. If you want to keep a journal, it looks like there's a lot of people already keeping various and sundry journals, but you might want to keep a journal or make some notes about what you notice over the next 9 weeks. Might be interesting to see that progression. And then the last thing is that I wanted to leave us, there's going to be a couple meditations in the group forum. There'll be a link to those meditations. If you have some time during the week, one of them is about 3 minutes. One of them might be 10 or 15. I'm not really sure. If you have a chance to listen to those, and if you all have things that are moving you that you want to share with the group, put them in the forum. So I wanted to leave you with a poem by Rumi, and some of you may already know this. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And on that note,
will you post that, please, Nina?
I will absolutely do that. On that note, I send you all big hugs and love. Wish you all a happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.